This morning I want to tackle Psalm chapter 42, if I can. Psalm chapter 42. I'll let you rest this morning. Amanda, Miss Laura, thank you guys. Talent like this could be anywhere, but it's being used in the house of God. That's a blessing to this pastor. And I'll whoop either one of them if they try to use it somewhere else. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Stand with me, please, this morning. I said I'd let you rest. Let's stand and read a few verses here. Psalm 42. I'll be in 142 a little bit. The Bible said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy. Brother Jason, you're talking about that joy. Went to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto, I love this phrase, the God of my life. I think it was Paul that said in the book of Acts, in him we live and move and have our being. Then in one of the epistles, he said, Christ, who is our life? Who's your life this morning? Amen. The Bible said, the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. If correctly read, that's 11 verses in Psalm 42. You can be seated. Please pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for this wonderful group of people that's gathered here today. And God, I'm sure that the needs are many. I'm just as sure, our Father, that I don't know what the needs are. But Lord, I'm sure you do. And I pray, God, you'd take the message this morning, Lord, and meet the needs of these precious people. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to know you, may this be the day. As Brother Mitchell said, that they take sides with God against themselves. Say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. And I need you. And Lord, I pray today for that Christian, our Lord. Lord, that's gone astray. I pray, God, that you'd just draw them with cords of love, loving kindness. Draw them near to you, Lord. Help us, our Father, this day. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. 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 What a wonderful song service today. Amen. What a wonderful song service. I'll tell you this, Brother Dale, if that choir goes through that singing school and gets any better, Pete might have a hard time keeping up with me around here. Amen. I'm 64 years old. Well, Brother Pete will get happy and run the aisle once in a while. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Amen. Appreciate his goodness. We're looking at these psalms that where the word in the title of the psalm, maskil, is applied. And we said last week that that word means instruction. And what I want to preach on this morning is this: instruction in times of discouragement. Instruction in times of discouragement. Could I ask for a show of hands? Has anybody ever been discouraged? Has anybody ever been past discouragement to a place of depression? Would you raise your hand? You see, somebody might say, well, I wouldn't admit that. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest preachers that ever walked in shoe leather battled depression. His name was Charles Spurgeon. I've said for years that pastors would give their eye teeth to get to pastor a church like this, where y'all pray for us and you help us and we work together, amen, to get the job done. I thank God for you. But I want you to know today that regardless of who you are or where you are in your life, there'll be some things that'll come along. You'll go through some seasons of discouragement. There'll be some things that'll grieve your heart and grieve your spirit. The psalmist today is writing for the sons of Korah. I got to studying about this a little bit, and you all remember Korah. He got about 250 people together and rose up against Moses. And they thought that maybe they ought to have the same authority that Moses did. You know what God did? He opened up the earth and swallowed them. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God is very serious about this thing of leadership in His people. Watch this now. I thought about the sons of Korah. It was written for the sons of Korah. There's a lot of grace and a lot of mercy that's portrayed here in this text. And I want you to know this. If you were in that family and the earth didn't get you, it didn't swallow you up, I'd say you come out of there praising the Lord. Amen. Amen. These people were musicians in the temple. And I believe, beloved, that they had much reason to praise the Lord. Let me give you one better than that. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're not in hell. And that's where we deserve to be. And if we get a hold of that, I believe we'd praise Him too. Amen. I'm going to tell you, beloved, you can appreciate the mercy and the grace of God. There's a distance that's portrayed in the text. He talks about he said the land of Jordan and the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar, there's a great distance between them where they are in this text and the temple in Jerusalem. Now I want you to say, I want you to see this morning. Beloved, listen, the church house today is not the temple. This church house is completely and absolutely dead until the first child of God walks in it. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't live in this house. He lives in this house. Amen. And we ought to get together and we ought to praise Him. I want to give you several things here today. I'm not going to tell you how many because that would discourage you. Amen. Actually, I said this years ago when people laughed. I said, now in closing, I paused. I said, if you just got excited, you're a visitor. Because my people knew better than to get excited. If I said now in closing, amen. There might be, Paul wrote two whole chapters after he said, finally, my brethren, leave me alone. Amen. Read it. Amen. Glory to God. Let's look at this instruction. There's several things I want us to see here. The first thing I want you to see in the text is the panting. The Bible said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks. I want you to remember this. I'm going to tie this in later at the end of the message with something else. As the hart, that's a deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There's two reasons that I've seen a deer with his tongue hanging out, and he looked like he was going to die when he come by me. The first reason was he was being chased by a predator. He was being chased. I was on White Top Mountain. I remember it years ago like it was yesterday. I wasn't deer hunting. I was turkey hunting on White Top. Well, if you go up, it's Interstate 81, you look over to the right, it's liable to be white in June up on top of that mountain. And if you've ever been there, it's a beautiful place. Nothing hardly grows over 20 or 30 foot high up there. And the deer up there are huge because only the real healthy ones survive. You'll see little skeletons laying everywhere where they didn't survive the cold and the weather. But so we were miles and miles away. This dog was a wild dog. And that deer come by me and I thought, what in the world is wrong? In just a minute, the deer took off and here come that old wild dog. He was being pursued by the enemy. The psalmist knows what it is to be pursued by the enemy. And he got to a place in his life where he said, man, I need a drink. I'm so thirsty. He said, I got to that place where just like that deer pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The other time I've seen a deer's tongue hanging out is when he was running for pleasure. I'll let you fill in the blanks right there. Say amen. He about run himself to death, amen. And I've seen his tongue, him come by and his tongue just hanging out. You've probably seen down BAE, Brother Randall. And just looked like he's going to fall over any minute, amen. But he keeps going and he keeps going. There are times when you and I are going to feel like we're going to fall over just any minute. You know what we need? We need a drink. I love the song, Drinking at the Springs of Living Water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water, O wonderful and bountiful supply. This panting comes about, and beloved, God said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me just say this morning, not being critical, you're not very hungry if that stayed closed all week. You're not very hungry if you haven't prayed all week. You're not very hungry, beloved. Listen, if just a little service here and a little service there will do you, say amen. Amen. God said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He didn't stop there. He said, they shall be filled. Glory to God. Amen. You know, there's a drink of water is one thing. A glass of water is another thing. And a half a gallon of water is another thing. Amen. I've seen when a glass wouldn't do because I was so thirsty. The second thing that I see in the text, and we're talking about discouragement and instruction in the times of discouragement, is pain. Look in verse 3. In verse 2 he said, my soul thirsteth for God. In verse 3 he said, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? It reminds me of Calvary. Jesus is hanging up there. And they say, if thou be the Son of God, come down. Amen. You saved others, save thyself. Taunting the Son of God. There'll be times, beloved, when this world will taunt you and taunt me. And even sometimes so-called friends will say, where is thy God? Beloved, I want you to know where my God is. He's in heaven. I want you to know where his eyes are, going to and fro in the earth, looking for someone, beloved, that he can show himself mighty on their behalf. Amen. God wants us to know there'll be times where we're panting. There'll be times of pain. In the second part of chapter number 42 and verse number 9, why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then you see in verse number 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily. It wasn't just once in a while, but every day, where is your God? Sounds like Job's friends, don't it? We know what's wrong, Job. It's you. They knew nothing of the contest that was going on. You mentioned competition last week, Brother Jack. There was a contest going on between the God of heaven and the devil of hell. Amen. And the devil said, you just let me have him, and I'll show you. No. If it ain't showing to be done, God's going to do it. Amen. And Job passed the test with flying colors because there was panting. He wanted to know God, and there was pain. Yes, he was hurting. Let me say something to the children of God. Some people go through life and they act like they never get hurt. There's things in this life will hurt you. And beloved, I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I've experienced hurt that knocking my head off with a fist wouldn't compare to. I've never laid awake all night because of physical pain. But I have because of spiritual pain. David was the man after God's own heart. And the psalmist here wants us to know, beloved, listen, there's going to be times of pain. Now, the TV evangelist, one of them, I call him Smiley. You'll figure that out after a while. How come you never preach on sin? He said, I just stay in my lane. Now, I'll tell you why he never preached on sin. Because he's not preaching the whole counsel of God. I've said this before, I'll say it again, the devil's got as many preachers in the world as God does. Amen. How come you never talk about judgment? I just stay in my lane. We got a lane to stay in, men of God. Let me tell you, it's between Genesis and Revelation. Amen. And we're supposed to preach it all. Not supposed to tiptoe through the tulips and tickle ears. You say, well, preacher, that's what people want. You'll need to find you another place to go. I'm not in the ear-tickling business. None of God's men are. They're in the gospel-preaching business. There's pain. The third thing I want to show you in the message is the pouring. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And look at verse number 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. You say, Pastor, this is instruction in times of discouragement. Pastor, what are we supposed to do when the enemy's raging? What are we supposed to do when we're discouraged? I'll tell you, the first thing you need to do is get on your face somewhere and pour your heart out to God. Pour it out. Oh, Hezekiah, he took that letter when it was given to him. And he spread it before the Lord. There's a pouring going on in this text. I'll tell you something right now. If you'll pour it out, God will help you out. There's no use to act like it don't hurt when it's killing you. There's no use to act like it don't hurt and let that turn into bitterness. Amen. That's what happens to a lot of people. They don't get better, they get bitter against God. And beloved, let me say this before I go any further. It's the grace of God, you're not bitter. And it's the grace of God, I'm not bitter. We're not bragging on ourselves, we're bragging on the grace of God. In times of discouragement, there's that pouring. Listen, I believe with all of my heart, beloved, notice what the Bible said here. I remember these things, I pour out my soul, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy, with the multitude that kept holy day. I want you to know, beloved, listen, the Bible said, my tears have been my meat, night and day. In verse number 3, when you get in this place of discouragement and it begins to cross over that line from discouragement into depression, listen to what I'm about to say, and somebody will say amen, it'll affect your appetite. You don't even want anything. Grieved. There are different things that hurt us. But I'll tell you this. There's only one that can heal us. And sometimes people, when they're hurt, the one that can heal them is the last one they approach, when he ought to be the first one that we approach. The next thing I want you to notice in the text, beloved, I wrote down the word pity. Look in verse number 5, please, and verse number 6 quickly. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down is what he says. Look at verse number 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. That kind of does away with that preaching that Christianity is all mountaintop, all roses. I'm going to tell you something about roses. They come with thorns. Somebody say amen. Tell you something else about roses. My wife will tell you this. They have to be pruned. Did y'all hear what I said? How many knows what I'm talking about? How many got a little bit of gardening experience? There's some things that have to be clipped along the way. Aren't you glad you got a God that knows where to clip? Amen. Say amen. He knows where to clip. He knows how to clip. He knows how much to clip. He knows when to clip. God knows how to prune His children. The next thing I want you to notice, verse 7, verse 8, and the first part of verse number 9, the Bible said, deep calleth unto deep, and the noise of thy water spouts, all thy waves, thy billows are gone over me. Watch this, verse number 8, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. You see, it's nighttime in this psalmist's life right now. It's a dark time. It's a discouraging time. But he said, it ain't going to be this way all the way. Daytime's coming, amen. I'm trying to remember the text now. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy. Hallelujah. If you've ever sat all night at the hospital, amen, you know you just can't wait to see the sun come up and the windows light up. One more time. Joy cometh in the morning. I see promise here. The psalmist saw the promise of God. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. The first part of verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Beloved, there's a promise here, and God wants the psalmist to understand the promise will get him through the discouragement. I dare you to do this when you get discouraged. Get your Bible down. Get you a pen or a highlighter and just start reading. And every time you come across a promise, highlight it or underline it. And you can say this, if I'm born again, I'm a child of God, that promise is to me. That promise is from God. That promise will never change. Amen. The Word of God forever settled in heaven. The next thing I see in the second part of verse number 5, and also I think in the second part of verse number 11, the Bible says in two different places here, I shall yet praise Him. I dare you to try something when you get discouraged. I dare you to praise Him. I dare you, Brother Chris. I dare you. I know a little bit about you, Brother Chris. You know a little bit about me. But God knows everything about both of us. And I'll tell you, when I get in a low place, you say, Pastor, what do you mean a low place? Well, some of you are probably going to get offended at this. But I was in Pennsylvania years ago, preaching in a prison revival. And I had it in my mind that the presidential election was going to go a certain way, and it didn't go that way. And I was sick to my stomach. I said, you mean 4 more years? About 30 minutes, I was discouraged. I was depressed. And God, the Holy Spirit, visited with me, and He said, I want you to start thinking about all the things that haven't changed since yesterday. You're still mine. Them youngins over in that Christian school, they still need to hear from me. I was scheduled to preach to them. Those men in that prison, there's still men over there that needs to be saved. I'm telling you, beloved, I was so discouraged, Brother Mark. I was ready to hook to my camper. It was parked on a church parking lot and head south. I ain't never found a whole lot good north of the Mason-Dixon line anyway. Amen. I didn't need much of an excuse, but I was ready to get out of Dodge, amen, not say nothing to nobody. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being discouraged. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a whole lot going on in our nation today that discourages me. I saw a video this week, beloved, where illegal people here, that were here, got a police officer down, and I watched them run like a soccer ball and pow, kick that man in the side of the face, kick him in the head over and over. You say, what'd they do? They put him in jail for just a few hours. Then let him go. Then they got on a bus, and they're headed to California to kick somebody else in the face. We're living in a day, beloved, of lawlessness. We're living in the last. No, not the last days. We're living in the last of the last days. You say, Pastor, you're 64 years old. Why would that discourage you? I've got children and grandchildren.
Amen.
And if God don't do something in this country, beloved. You say, Pastor, you mean you just got a little discouraged last week? Yeah, let me tell you something. Only way I would know to never get discouraged in this world today would be to put your head about that far under the sand.
Yeah. Amen.
And never come up for air.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, how in the world do you keep going? I'll tell you how. You got to quit looking this way and look that way.
Right.
We used to sing a song, didn't we, Miss Eve? Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right. In my Father's house. Where there's joy. Joy. Joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everything might be all wrong. Horizontally. But vertically. Everything's all right. God is still on the throne. Amen. And what the psalmist does is he praises God. He said, listen, there's a day coming. I will yet praise you. I'm not going to be in this valley forever. I'm not going to be in this dark place forever. The last thing I'll share with you in the message today. See, if I'd have told you I had seven things, you'd have gotten discouraged. My job as a pastor is not to discourage you, it's to encourage you. The Bible said exhorting one another daily. Now, if preaching on sin discourages you, somebody said to Brother Jack one time, said, that rubs my fur the wrong way. Brother Jack said, turn the cat around.
Amen.
In other words, God's men, Sister Carol, they're just going to keep rubbing the same way, the Bible way. They're not going to turn around. They'll turn the cat around. Amen. Turn the cat around. Y'all know how I love cats. There's one cat that I love dearly, and that's my mama. Her name was Catherine. Her nickname was Cat. Loved her dearly. Amen. I want you to see, lastly, a picture of Jesus. Brother Dale, you ever been discouraged? I've dared a few others, Brother Dale. I dare you the next time you get discouraged. Crawl right up to the cross. Put what you're going through
Amen.
In light
you're right.
of what He did for us.
Amen, brother. You're right.
On that cross. I tell you what you'll do. You'll wad that discouragement up and put it back in your pocket.
Amen.
You'll say, God, how could I be discouraged? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? How can I go on? We need a picture of Jesus. Give you several things real quickly. Stay with me if you will, please. Number one, I've got three things right here and I'm done. Some of you just got excited. You're visited. But anyway, three things real quickly. Number one, a picture of Jesus in this text. Look in verse number 9. I will say unto who? God. What's the description? My rock. That's a picture of Jesus. You say, now that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible said, and they all did drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. This is talking about the wilderness. That followed them, and that rock was Christ. They didn't know it, but we know it. They got thirsty out there. And God told, you say, oh boy, that's another good text, ain't it, Brother Jason? We've known if we study, and I know you know this, but Moses was told the first time to smite the rock. You can see a picture of Christ right there. The rock was smitten. The second time, God told Moses to speak to the rock. Why? Because Jesus would only be smitten once. He died once for all. There's a picture of Christ in this psalm. My rock. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Uriah, your name's Uriah. But to preacher, you're my Uriah, ain't you? Amen. I love that grin. Amen. Jesus, he might be a rock to somebody or your rock to somebody, but I'm glad I can stand before you this morning and say, hallelujah, he's my rock.
Amen.
He's my shepherd. He's my king.
Amen.
We see a picture of Jesus. The Bible said, my rock. The second thing we see here in this text, it ought to encourage us in times of discouragement. Instruction for times of discouragement. Jesus is the image of the God that we long to meet with. In verse number 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, the psalmist didn't say, so panteth my soul after the water brook. He said, just like the hart gets thirsty for the water brook, my soul is thirsty for the living God. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians that he is the image, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And so, there's a picture of Jesus. I'm going to give you something right here. I won't be dogmatic about it, but something I've never thought about till I was studying last night. And I didn't read this after somebody else. If I did, I still wouldn't be dogmatic about it. But it's something that God spoke to my heart about. I believe that he spoke to my heart about. The picture of Jesus. Jesus is my rock. Jesus is the image of the God that we long to meet with. But Jesus experienced the depths of suffering like no one else ever has. Now, I want to give you something. How many remembers? Let me just take you there. Go with me to the book of John, please. Real quickly, John chapter number 19 and verse number 28. I hope you'll get this morning. This will be worth the drive right here. I want you to get this. The Bible said here in John chapter 19 and verse number 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, what's he say? Okay, I thirst. I want you to go with me, if you will, beloved, to Psalms chapter 69 and verse number 20. I'm going to read a verse here. Psalm chapter 69, I believe that's right. I hope it is. Psalm chapter 69, verse number 20 and 21. How many know that some of the Psalms are prophetic? Y'all know that, don't you? Psalm 22 is prophetic about Calvary. Look at this psalm. In verse 20 of chapter 70, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the psalmist said in verse number 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'm coming into a landing right here, but I want to give you something to think about. Not dogmatic about it, but I believe God can still speak through His Spirit. This nowhere contradicts the Word of God. I've never read that verse, Brother Jason, where he said, I thirst, that I wasn't thinking about the physical crucifixion and the physical torture that goes on in a man's body when he's being crucified. And that Brother Michael, that he wanted a drink. But I'm going to tell you something. As I studied last night, I wept. It could be that Jesus was thirsting for a whole lot more than a drink of water. You say, what do you mean? The psalmist said, my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. I believe it's very possible, Brother Dale, that Jesus, the thirst that was down inside of him, was that longing that was down inside of him. The Father had turned his back. It had gotten dark. He was bearing, listen, our sin in his body on that tree. Not only that, here's a little bit something stronger. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I'm telling you, it's possible that your pastor all these years, as he's read that, has missed something. I'm not being dogmatic about it. But I'll tell you this, I believe as Jesus hung on that cross, he couldn't wait. Hallelujah. He said to Mary, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Glory to God. I believe he was looking for and longing for and thirsting for that return, amen, to his Father from whence he had come, being able to sit down once again at the right hand of God the Father. What are you thirsty for today? Are you thirsty for righteousness? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I believe this. The psalmist said, I shall yet praise him. Jesus said this, destroy this temple. He said, 3 days, I'll raise it up again.
Amen.
You know what he was saying?
Yeah.
That ain't the end. There may be a time of thirst. There may be a time of discouragement, but it ain't the end for the children of God. I'll say it like this and close. If you're here today and you know Jesus, mark my word, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be here at Bible Way. I pray, Lord, today you'll bless your youngins. I pray, God, for that one here today that don't know you. Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, we need instruction in the times of discouragement. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.